I've been thinking about water lately, about plain old H2O. Human beings, of course, are full of it. A whole lot of hydrogen and oxygen atoms bouncing around inside us in that peculiar combination. And Neil Shubin, a scientist, one day decided to do the math. He wrote out an atomic formula, a recipe of what it takes to make a human being. A human baby, it turns out, is approximately 75% water, which means that we are born about as wet as a fresh potato, which is approximately 80% water, a little wetter than a banana at 74%, not nearly as wet as a tomato, clocking in at an astounding 93.5% water. Water is everywhere, and it's a little weird. One of the weirder aspects of it, though, is that its strength relies so heavily on its weakness. Hydrogen bonds are weak bonds that keep water attracted to itself, and it's weak enough that it rolls off our hands as a cleansing agent, yet strong enough that together water can creep through crevices of rock and stone, break them apart, form valleys where before there were none. Water is a powerful thing. Water is not simply a source of life, but also life itself, part of who we are. Now, the prophet Joel isn't necessarily thinking of the scientific properties of water, but he is plenty familiar with its importance. It's the scarcity of water that catches his attention. And it's not only that, it's what scarce water signifies. No crops, no harvest, no food, no life. Members of an agrarian society understood that water is bound up in our flesh and therefore bound up in our destiny. It is a powerful symbol of both life and death. It's interesting to note, therefore, that though our passage today is concerned with God's provision and care for God's people, the rest of the book is concerned with the lack of provision. The book starts and is centered around a plague of locusts that has lasted for years and years in Israel. And the lectionary today doesn't do us much of a favor by removing it from that proper context. You see, a couple of verses before, you notice how this is bound up in all of the created order. Do not fear, O soil, says the prophet Joel. Be glad and rejoice, for the Lord has done great things. Do not fear, you animals of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness are green. The tree bears its fruit. The fig tree and vine give their full yield. O children of Zion, be glad and rejoice in the Lord your God. And there we start our passage for today. Joel isn't concerned with the individual struggle and promise. He isn't even concerned just with humanity, but with the experience of the whole of creation, groaning and trying to survive, overcome with grief and terror, seeking a word of hope. It's the whole of creation, its fate bound up together. Let me return to Neil Shubin, the guy I mentioned earlier, the scientist, for just a moment, because it turns out that the older we get, the drier we become. I don't know if you knew this. I found this out this week. A newborn may be 75% water at birth, but just one year after that, we experience a 10% drop in our water content, down to 65%. 1 year, 10%. and it continues to decrease as we age, and maybe this is the part we are all more familiar with. As our skin maybe becomes a little less pliable, our bones get creakier, or joints lose the fluid that absorbs the shock of impact as we go about our everyday life. Now, we may not be familiar with an agrarian society. We may not see it happening around us in the same way that the Israelites did. But we, too, know that our life is bound up with the well-being of the rest of creation, with the well-being of our bodies and the bodies around us. We each, in our own way, know how vulnerable our lives really are. We each, in our own way, have moments that remind us of how precious life is and how quickly it can be swept from under our feet. A few weeks ago, I was listening to the radio and heard the story about a woman near San Francisco by the name of Julieta Corelli, the owner of Trouble Cafe. This coffee shop serves an odd assortment of goods: coffee, grapefruit juice, coconut water, and toast. These items each have meaning for Miss Corelli. She has had a tumultuous life. Psychotic breakdowns, broken relationships, a lack of stability. And yet, once she opened this coffee shop, she had finally reached a point where she could rejoice in the things that have built her stability in a fragile world. And she gathered a community of regulars that recognized her as that particular, peculiar owner of this coffee shop. A group of regulars that recognize her sometimes when she forgets where she is and she's trying to get to work, and will tell her, "You're Trouble, right? From Trouble Cafe. I know where you're supposed to go." Maybe, just maybe, there are enough weak ties in our world, enough room for connection, to create a wide enough safety net for our worst days. Maybe there is a body large and pliable enough to hold our strongest wrecks and terrible sorrows. We need these ties that bind us to each other, as fragile as they may seem to be at first glance. Each Sunday morning when we gather in the space, we walk past the baptismal font at the front there. And each time we have a baptism in our service, the priest reads the thanksgiving over the water. It reads, "We thank you, Father, for the water of baptism. In it we are buried with Christ in his death. By it we share in his resurrection. Through it we are reborn by the Holy Spirit." May we go and live our lives in the knowledge that we are bound together in this fragile world, marked as Christ's own. Amen.